How's it going? And you're very welcome along to the Football Pod with Paddy Andrews, James O'Donoghue, and Tommy Rooney. Pretty interesting weekend, boys. Where do you want to start?
Jimmy, I'll let you do a victory lap here.
It could have been the greatest weekend of my life. It could have been the greatest weekend of my life. Oh, lads, ye were under savage pressure, man.
Dubs. We'll get to the Dubs. Let's get Tommy back in his box here. He's been on a victory lap all year. Like, come on.
He's been so smug for literally 10 months, I'd say. And now it's just starting to, the ground is starting to go from under you, Tom. But that's okay. Don't worry.
We had to expect a little bit of. A little bit of shithousery from Jimmy here now.
Oh, that's fine. On the car on the way up on Friday to Meath, he had the path to Sam Maguire made out like.
Now, James.
The path to Sam, he was calling it, right? And he was going from the semi-final to Leinster into the final to beat the Dubs in the Leinster final, then on to the next stage. And if we can avoid this team, we've the beating of them, this, that, and the other. First hurdle.
Now, you'd want to be on it. You want to be awful innocent to believe James O'Donoghue's words there. We were in McCourt. Now, Paddy,
we were in I sat here Friday night. Like, we were in there. We were there.
What sort of vibes was I giving off McCormick's? Was I not quaking in my boots ahead of Westmead?
The chest was out, which is fine. Meade have been on a great run. We can't knock that. Like, All Ireland semi finalists promoted to Division One. It has been a positive period. I expect them to win yesterday. Some reservations about them, and Jimmy, you spoke about it as well, in terms of just that we know they can shoot the lights out. We know they're brilliant to watch. They're exciting. And yesterday was the latest iteration of that, a brilliant game to watch. But you can get at them. That is the concern. They've got great guys in their half-back line, all that good sort of stuff, but they don't really shut teams down. And to be fair, a little bit of fortune with Westmead, a couple of the goals, okay. But Westmead, top goal scorers across all the divisions. They hit 5 last week against Longford, and they hit 4 yesterday. And the last goal is kind of the last play of the game. But there was a danger. I thought they'd get through yesterday, but there's no doubt the bubble has burst a little bit around them. So they're in a tough place today, because for a fact, the Leinster Championship was a goal. I know that within that team. And it's to fall at the first hurdle is such a disappointment for them.
It's a massive blow. It's balloon burst, James, in a lot of ways. But like, can we just for 1 second linger on something James said last week on the pod? And he said he couldn't get over, and it just reminded him the difference between league and championship. And to me, it felt like Meath had turned up in league mode. And Westmead, who had won the week beforehand, and like there's only a 1 week gap between the Longford and Westmead games, but they were in championship mode. And once Meade missed a couple of chances early doors, and we're going back to Tullamore. Tullamore last year was the scene of a big turn in the championship when Meade got the better of Kerry, who were a little bit off it that day, who weren't fully tuned in. And James, I think in these new rules, if you're not mentally 100%, you are going to get opened. Like you're just going to get exposed.
Though, Tommy, for me, like this, I couldn't get over there. Got to be looking at that, like. Come on.
But Meade bet Westmead last year by a goal after the hooter in the league. There's never really been a huge amount between these two.
True. But I think, first of all, you have to give so much credit to Westmead, right? They didn't go up from 3. They got their act together, got that little something, a sharp edge in their mind. Obviously hammered Longford, right? But the freedom with which their forwards played was sensational. For some reason, with these new rules, we have not seen that fluidity, that creativity, the cheek, the toniness. Do you know, we have not seen that enough. And the scores that Westmead kicked, obviously from Luke Lachlan and from Corcoran inside, like
fabulous.
They were top range scores, and I mean that's just playing on a different level of confidence. And I think they did a great clip on the Sunday game as well of the of the one-on-one defending. Yeah. If you can have that sticky, tight cornerback play where you're coming in and breaking the ball, the crowd just get up. Your forwards are like, yes, we're back on. We have another counter-attack chance. You know, because if every attack is a slow attack, it's really hard to get those creative scores. But if you have the odd counterattack from your cornerback turning over the ball and you're gone at pace, it breathes life to the whole thing. And some of the scores they got were absolutely magnificent. Like Corcoran's score.
When he's 1-1 in the second half, James.
Yeah, in the second half, when
dummy,
he's going down the right.
Outside of the boot.
The dummy hop. Oh, it's so good. It is such a brilliant score. And then, like, Luke Lachlan steps where he just plants all his weight onto his left and comes back on the right, or all his weight onto the right comes back onto the left. It's so hard to stop. So I was so impressed by their attack. It was just free is the word I have for it.
Did you hear Luke Lachlan talking to Jonathan Higgins after the game for Off the Ball? And just the quote, I just loved it. Our inside line, me and the two young lads, Shane Corcoran, who's 21, and Brandon Kelly, who's 24, we fancy ourselves against anyone, to be honest, one-on-one. And that's the key, isn't it? Like, one-on-one. Like, Sean Coffey, we were talking about Sean Coffey on Friday night. He's been one of the finest centre-backs across the last 18 months in the new game. He gets skinned one-on-one. Like, he just gets open, but there's it's so much space around him for that goal in the second half.
That was unforgivable defending. Unforgivable. Like, if you're going to say that he just had too much space, he didn't handle him. He literally, I give Corcoran.
He skinned him.
All the praise in the world for the point and a couple of points he got and all the tricks. That one, he didn't even do a dummy and he just ran around him. Now, the finish was absolutely out of this world as well. But the defending for every single one of those goals, right, by Meath was awful. Awful, awful, awful. And I was like, why did that happen? And I'm thinking, they've been so, maybe this is an excuse for them. They've been used to setting up against, like, tactically really coached teams in attack, where you're going, you run there, and next thing, Meath are doing a lovely zonal defence, and they're kind of getting lots of tackles in. And Westmeath just played so off the cuff with so much individual skill that it exposed every single one of them for individual defending. Like, for who got the goal in the first half, or kind of dribbled into the...
Matthew Whittaker. He lost it. Oh, no,
not
Corcoran.
Corcoran's goal, right? He's in the corner. He solos the ball up in the air.
Okay? Yeah.
And he catches it and still scores a goal. Now, the reason I'm so passionate about this is because I know how hard it is at times to get chances and score goals and be in there and be killed. To solo the ball up in the air, there's not a hope in hell you should be getting any score out of that. You should be ripped of the ball. So they let him in for that goal. Whittaker's goal then, he drops the ball, has time to pick it up, swivel around. I'd say he does 3 180s and then bangs it into the corner of the net. Absolutely.
In the centre channel.
Unforgivable defending. And then the worst was Corcoran's goal, because I just think no one bailed out Coffey. No one came over to say, we better double up here, this is dangerous. They all just stayed there. And then Coffey doesn't put a hand to them and he buries in the back of the net. If you are talking about getting up to championship level, defensively they didn't. They still kicked 25 points. Outstanding in attack. But they were missing something really important at the back. And even when they were exposed by Cork, now I'm thinking, no wonder Sherlock kicked 10 points against.
Jimmy, this is what we spoke with. The concern with Meath, they're doing lots of good things. They get into shootouts. They've got the way they play. They're abandoned. Everything you're saying about Westmeath, we've been saying about Meath for the last few months as well. So there's lots of good stuff happening. But the concern of getting to the next level, without a doubt, is that defensive operation. We know they've got good play, like a light Caulfield, a lot of Keoghan we spoke about for an incredible servant and career, but they don't shut teams down. That is not their strength. It's something I'm sure Robbie Brennan's aware of, but if you're talking about winning a provincial championship and getting back to an All-Ireland semi-final and playing in Division 1 against the likes of Kerry and Galway and all these teams, they have to be harder to play against. As a neutral, it's brilliant to watch because we know we're going to see lots and lots of scores. But you go through those goals and, like, say, okay, Corcoran's first goal is a bit fortuitous, but everything you've said there, getting to that point, it's just too easy. It's too easy. They need to be harder to play against. Yesterday is not a new thing. We would have seen that a lot from them, but they were caught out yesterday. So massive credit to Mark McHugh and those Westmeath players, because no doubt, like, it's a big setback for them. And he said this, said as much, not to get out of Division 3. And I would have Westmeath as a Division 2 team, but they've been languishing down in Division 3. That's a couple of times they've fecked it up. But yesterday, we know Lachlan is exceptional. We spoke about it on Friday's show in Meath that he's one of the best forwards in the province. and Kinnellan was brilliant again at midfield. Worry for Westmead going next game, Luke Lachlan's not going to niggle. He is pivotal to them. It's a rematch. They play Kildare. They were beaten last year in the championship by them. So, but they were full value for it yesterday. And the slight Achilles heel that Mead have was really, really ruthlessly shown up yesterday.
I think it's more than slight.
I hope Luke Lachlan's injury isn't bad, because he does put a lot of pressure on the body with some of those jinxes and turns.
Big, he's powerful.
He commits to them, and they're so hard to defend against. But he needs the body to be right to pull off those moves. I hope he's right, because they'd be hard.
Do you know the flying kind of step he does, where he's going at like 100 miles an hour and kind of shows the ball? Is that like a rugby? I can't even figure out how he's doing it.
Like, he's a big man as well. He's not like a Conlon there from Egan the Corner, where he's jinky. He's powerful, and then he's got a bit of step and a bit of agility about him as well. It's important he's back. This is what happens, the nature of things, when you build up miles on the clock, you get these knocks and niggles. But the championship, they've 2 weeks now to get them right. And what a position they're in now. And the same, we'll get to Kildare, had a bad finish to their league campaign, but they picked up a win. And now they're looking at it going, geez, we can get to a Leinster final as well. So we said this will be a brilliant provincial championship. And yesterday just highlighted that again. But for me, neither the story from it, that it's been so positive all season. The one thing I'd say in their favour, and Robbie Brennan alluded to it afterwards, he kind of said, well, look, you just have to get back up off the canvas and go again. They were beaten by 20 points in the All-Ireland semi-final last year.
Yeah.
An embarrassing defeat for them with all the momentum behind them. But look how they bounced back from that. They came in at the start of this season and they won Division 2. Not just promoted, they won the thing. So they've had setbacks already in recent memory for a lot of this group and that management team. Yesterday was a big one. No doubt about it, because they wanted to win the Leinster Championship. But they got to regroup. They're in the All-Ireland Series, and they can still have a big say on the summer. But the defensive piece is, you just can't, it's hard to hide it. You can't get away from it. And, whoever they're playing in the All-Ireland Series, they're going to look at that as well and go, right, we can get at
it. Well, the thing is, it's Tyrone, if they qualify, are in the same boat. It's Down, who are now under savage pressure, the Division 3 champions. If Westmead make it to the provincial final, Conor Laverty's Down will be competing in the Tailteann Cup again this year. So that's the big carrot there. And for the likes of a Meath or Tyrone, who actually aren't secure in the All-Ireland Series yet, they're going to be meeting a provincial finalist in their round one game. There isn't as much of a cushion this year in the All-Ireland Series. So you lose that first game, you're into a loser's round, and you could be drawing another team that are right in the mix. So it's, it'll be very interesting to see how Meath respond. It'll be very interesting to see this Westmead-Kildare game, because Kildare put up 220 on Laois at the weekend. And I'll be honest, lads, I had a suspicion going into the weekend there was going to be a shock in Leinster.
Yeah,
I was hoping it wouldn't be Meath. Paddy, he gave a bit of a look last week when I said Wicklow might put it up to the Dubs. We'll come back to that in a second.
Who got the Dubs.
Okay. We'll come back to it. We'll go through them.
Sorry.
But one team who really asserted themselves, Loud Wexford, 125 to 11 points. I didn't see a 17-point gap coming in this one.
No.
And 30 minutes into this game, it was fairly close. Loud had pulled 3 points ahead. And then just before halftime, a couple of two-pointers from Kieran Keenan and Sam Mulroy, and they're 9 points clear at the break. They bring on Ryan Burns and Tyke McDonald at halftime. McDonald kicks four in the second half. Burns kicks a couple of points too.
Kieran Downey coming back from injury as well.
Loud flex their muscles, lads. In case we hadn't remembered, the defending champions were third favourites going into the Leinster Series this year. So Sam Mulroy gave a little smile when I put that to him a couple of weeks back. They're in a good place now going in to face the Dubs, the managerless Dubs.
It was
a statement performance yesterday. Like, Wexford promoted, had a great spring campaign as well, and they kind of racked up big scores, and you thought Loud would have too much for them, but it was a dominant performance. And like I said, those bodies coming back from injury, Loud, slow start to the season. We were asking questions after two or three rounds of the league, going, is the hangover permanent? from winning that Leinster Championship. But be fair to Gavin Devlin and those players, getting their boys back on the pitch, like I say, Downey is pivotal, just how they play, a real silky player. Mulroy is just playing with that confidence, he's going from strength to strength. He's, I belong as at the top table, one of the best players in the country. So, and you know what, for that, we'll do a piece, obviously a bit more depth, next week in the lead up to that Dublin Loud Leinster semi-final, which is set to be a brilliant game.
Saturday night.
Yeah, it's a game Loud will have wanted, I would feel. I'd say within that camp, it's a case. They won the Leinster Championship last year without beating Dublin. We want to go back to back, and Loud can view this from their perspective. Let's put a stake in the heart of this Dublin team and finish them off. That's the opportunity for Loud. They'll have wanted to play Dublin. We'll get the Dublin's kind of mindset going into that game and how important that's going to be. But Loud, massive statement yesterday for them. And it sets up a brilliant game on Saturday week. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. James, Loud set up with a number of units across their middle third. Connor Early and Darren McDonald named to start in midfield, kicked 3 points apiece. But then you have a half forward line of Connor Grimes, Paul Matthews, Tommy Dernan, Sam Mulroy, who's good in the air as well. Like,
land of the joint.
They can mix it up, Loud. And now they're getting their bodies back, as Paddy mentioned. You know, Kieran Downey coming off the bench. There was no need to bring on Craig Lennon. They've been able to save him and wrap him up in cotton wool for the next day. So, Loud are in a good place.
They are in a really, really good place. Like, Devlin has done a sensational job there as well. From where, like, at the start of the league, we were saying, oh, these fellas, are they going to get back up again after obviously getting so high, and then have they taken the foot off the gas? They've gone there, and they're playing better football than they were last year. But in fairness to Mulroy, you mentioned the kickouts there, Tom, and obviously the dominance they have there with size. But playing Mulroy out there, he makes every decision, he makes the correct decision. He's stuck in every score. Like, if you ever see the highlight reels of Loud, he's always letting off. If it's not the last pass or the shot, he's an extra pass away. He's stuck in everything, just making the right decision, making sure fellas are doing the right things. The leadership he shows for them is outstanding. And in that Leinster final last year against Meath, I don't think Meath got a handle on him. So I think that Dublin, like, if they're going to do anything, it's get on Mulroy. Like, I think he's gone so good, so influential, such a brilliant player. Even if he drifts out, I'd be sacrificing a defender and putting him on him, because the level of football he's playing at the moment is just outstanding.
But he ran that Leinster final like Paddy Clifford around the All-Ireland. He had like 60 touches of the ball.
He did. And last in this day and age, he's too good. If Paddy Clifford is too good, these are actually errors in how you set up. You need to mark these fellas, and then we'll see. Even with the Connolly thing, so teams leaving now, they're tagging him. Now we'll see, can they create? Now Mulroy can, like, there's no doubt about it. Mulroy's used to being inside, but I'd like to see him have a proper duel with someone against Dublin and still come out on top, because I think he is that good.
You would think Ger Brennan would notice, as you know, having spent 2 years coaching him, and how close their relationship would have been in terms of Loud going on and winning that Leinster Championship. So, look, that's one aspect of what's going to be a brilliant game, but I agree. He's that we speak about levels, we talk about Finnerty and Galway. These players, when they have that kind of breakout, and Mulroy's been around for a while, but that, like, real outstanding year all starts, like, I am one of the top players in the country. I'm going to play like that confidence. And he gives that to the other players on the team as well. He's what a massive leader. And look, we'll keep saying it. It's one of the games of the championship, what's going to come up on Saturday week. So,
yeah.
Do you remember when Mulroy came out first and he was playing brilliant football? But I think they might have been down in Division
3.
They went from four to one, yeah.
And he said straight out, like in an interview, I am one of the best in the country. And I was like, I suppose everyone was kind of taken aback with how confident he was and how able he was to say that, even without maybe performing at the latter end of championships yet. And to see him steadily go there, get there, stay there, is very, very impressive, you'd have to say. Because it was a ballsy kind of statement at the time, but he's 100% delivered on it, I think. He's definitely one of the best around.
I don't want you to misquote him. I thought he had written down that he wanted to be, on his whiteboard, he wanted to be the best in the country, or he was going to be.
Like, he spoke about this,
yeah, and very openly.
Like, a very un-Irish thing. We don't see much of it. Definitely an un-GAA thing. But to be fair to him, he's putting the work in and has put the work in. And you know, the opportunity for him on a personal level is, oh, can I captain Leo to back-to-back Leinster championships and beyond? That's what it's all for. That's why you're doing it. So, but what he's produced over the last 18 months in particular has been exceptional, and he just shows no signs of slowing down. So, Dublin need to have some sort of plan to curb his influence. You can't just let him dictate the game.
It was March 2022 when Sam Mulroy said that. He was top scorer in the country, and he was talking to Thomas Niblock on the GA Social podcast. Loud were promoted from Division 3. Loud were promoted from Division 3 that year.
Promoted from 3, so, yeah.
Yeah, so that's, you know, and he put that on the record, you know?
Yeah, but mentally, in terms of this game, obviously Loud have the win under the belt against Wexford. Mentally, they'll be going into this Dublin game in a great place. They're reigning champions. I think every other game against Dublin, they're kind of thinking, are we there? Are we good enough to beat Dublin? I don't think there's any question. No, I think they are good enough to beat Dublin. And they should almost go in, you know, not expecting to win, but they should have that little bit of feeling there somewhat that we should be going here and getting a result. And I'd have them favourites for that game, if I'm being honest. I don't know who's still favourites for Leinster Championship. Dublin were before the weekend. I think that Loud will be too strong for them.
I haven't checked. Paddy, it's a Saturday night game, 2nd of May, in Amore Park. Leashire,
GA Plus,
Park,
friends.
But what a great time to have a Leinster semi-final outside of Croke Park in a provincial ground. Like, I was in Ennis on Sunday and there was 20,000, just shy of 20,000 packed into Cusick Park for Clare and Waterford.
Munster Hurling looked good yesterday.
Yeah, and Ennis is such a great town for championship. Do you know, at 2 o'clock game, the atmosphere is building up and everyone's excited, and a really competitive high scoring game as well. That's just going to be a cracking atmosphere that evening in Portlaoise.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It is. It's going to be brilliant. I say Loud, the whole village will be out for that one, and the Dubs. Dublin need support. They're not in the best place as a team at the minute, so but there'll still be a big crowd. So. Like I say, it sets it up as one of the biggest games of the summer so far. It's a tough one to call. I'm sure we'll get into more detail next week.
Would you be confident going to that game?
I don't know. I backed Dublin to win the Leinster Championship at the start of this. Yesterday wasn't great. Not great at all. The Ger Brennan thing is not ideal either. Let me even think about it. We'll do a big piece on this next week, lads.
James, who did you back for the Leinster Championship?
Mead.
Who did I back?
Loud.
Yeah, we're split.
There you go.
That's only because what you say in cars and what you say on the pod are completely different.
Yeah, exactly. Your actual thoughts. Whereas, if you were honest about stuff here, it'd be great.
Has my driving improved? I chauffeured you up the road on...
It has.
You're charging him a fee for this time. Jesus Christ.
Your golf has improved, James. I'll give you that much. Your golf has improved. We got a couple of holes in the Knightsbrook, Paddy. The two of us were talking so much, we forgot our wedges on the first green and had to ring back to the clubhouse. And Ben in the pro shop sorted us out. So thanks, Ben, for spinning over in the buggy and getting our wedges for us. So that wasn't great, James.
No, but 9 holes is just right.
Just dusting off the cobwebs, lads. Heading into summer.
Exactly. I'll tell you what, I struck a 3-wood off the fairway absolutely brilliantly, Tom, didn't I? I'd say...
You did.
Are you off scratch now, Jimmy? Is it?
No, 3.
3, okay.
303.
James. The long journey.
Paddy, I'm still actually in the process of getting the handicap because I haven't logged enough scores that I got, and I'm not a member anymore yet.
Sophia,
I have a lovely golf bag and trolley.
He does. He striped the 3-wood, Paddy, but he never checked his distance, so it took us about 5 minutes to find it, about 50 yards behind the green. But yeah, lads, you kind of brushed by the Dubs there. Couple of big things. Dean Rock was the manager this weekend, stepping in for Ger Brennan. Paddy Small, I think the Dubs can thank for actually getting them through this one. He kicked 2 2-pointers, he buried a goal. Conor Callaghan went off injured again, which is a big worry going into the Loud game. Kitty McGuinness grew into it. And for Wicklow and for Oisin McConville's charges, what a missed opportunity. It felt like they had them on the ropes. Owen Darcy scored 2-2. Oisin McGrainer had a huge influence. Dean Healy was fantastic, kicked 5 points. And Mark Jackson, one of the best keepers in the land, one of the best strikers of a football, went 0 from 6 from his shots off the deck. I think it was 4 2-point frees and 2 45s.
Goal chance just, at the end.
Just didn't happen.
They'll never JP have a better Nolan. Chance.
Yeah.
They'll never have a better chance to win. And they put it up to him a couple of years ago as well in Akram. It's as much about, like, that's a Division 4 team playing, you know, albeit a relegated Division 1 team. It's what a massive, massive opportunity for them. They will be kicking themselves. Like, see, Mark Jackson, you said it, Tommy. Like, when's the last time he's had 0% success? And the goal chance at the end, that kick it wide, never mind, you know, over the bar. It's just, Ushie McConville will be, that would have been one of the great victories. Like, to be fair, one of the biggest upsets we'd have ever seen. And they were full value for it. Dublin had a man sent off, the young Liam Smith, just.
Was it harsh?
Again.
It was
he catches him in the head. It's not intentional.
It was unlucky. It was unlucky.
And shoulder away in the head. That's, you have to be sent off for that. You know, it's not.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate for him. You know, I think it was championship debut. Just not ideal. Con being injured again, it's like, it's a challenge for Dublin. This is the nature of things. We said it with Luke Loughlin at the top of the show. Guys have lots of miles on the clock. You're just trying to get your body right. And Con, realistically, the last couple of championships, every time we're talking about Dublin, he's so important, but we're never getting him at 100% fitness. Paddy Small, I agree. Tommy, we spoke with Paddy Small during the league as well. He's the closest forward Dublin have to Con in terms of just power, directness, really hard for teams to stop. He's so quick and direct, but same thing with him. He's, if I was Jer or Dean, whoever's managing for the next 2 weeks, just don't let Paddy Small on the pitch. Don't let him train. He doesn't need to do anything. Just stop and play against Loud, because he came off the last game of the league against Galway. He doesn't get a run without picking up injuries. That's just the nature of guys. He knocks and niggles. He is critical to Dublin because he's as close to Con that they have. Outside of that, defensively, yeah, you look, Darcy's goal, it's all Merchant on the edge of the square. You know, that's not Merchant's strength. He gets a knock as well. Just a flatness around the team. Massive credit to Wicklow. Possibly should have won the game, but if you're looking at it really harshly from Dublin, and I know they will be at this, it's a Division 4 team. You know, it's not good enough. It is just nowhere near good enough. And like I said, we'll do a big piece coming into next week for the Loud game, but you've got to look at it and go, you know, what are the players expecting here? Like, you know, and we get to, there's loads of new players coming in and younger guys. That's all fine. You've got Dublin's success and failure this season is going to be on the back of, you know, Davy Byrne, Merchant, Howard, Kilkenny, Conn, Scully. And the question mark is there. It's going, you know, how badly do you want this thing? You know, because I'm sure they're doing their ice baths and they're doing their analysis and all that type of stuff and ticking all the boxes there. But the reality is they go to play Loud on Saturday week and it's a fight. You know, it's, you got to be up for it. You got to have the energy. And they all have All-Ireland medals coming out their arse and All-Stars and all that stuff, which is brilliant. That doesn't count for anything next Saturday. Dublin will win or lose that match on the basis of those key guys down the centre channel. And if, Jimmy, you said something the other night in the show, you know, when you get a bit older and you have lots of miles on the clock, you know, you've got to answer, do you want this enough? Because Loud are coming for them and Loud are going to be all over them and giving them loads of lip, and Molloy kicks a score and he's waving to the crowd, or Tommy Dernan goes up and fetches a ball and puts a knee in your back and is standing over for you. Are you going to fucking take that? That's the question. For Howard, for Kilkenny, for these guys, it's like, you're kind of training away there, but it's a fight. You need to play with energy and edge as if you're 21, 22 years of age. And that's the question mark. And no one's going to know, and maybe even the players won't know. Maybe they'll go. They're a little bit of doubt themselves. But come 8:30 or 8:45 next Saturday night, they'll know. The feedback will be on the pitch and you'll see where this team are at. And this, winning or losing in that game is going to be on those guys. Whatever about the young lads, let them find their way. It's the experienced guys. Have you got it in you still? And there's no right or wrong, but from my own experience, you get to the end and it's like, I don't know if I have the edge here that these young fellas have. And that's the question mark around Dublin. And we seen it yesterday. They were nowhere near it. Nowhere near it. And they got away with it. They deliver that in Portlaoise next Saturday. And that will be the end of the road for them.
James?
No, I think he's right. It's mad. It's still, like, going back to my heart, but it's mad how it's kicked off. It's so important this next week for Dublin. Like, obviously, it's been a case of over the National League, get new players in, lots of trials, lots of patience and time. Now you stuttered against Wicklow. Now it's really time. It's really, really the time. And Loud are going to be waiting. Like, Loud are an excellent side now. They are really, really an excellent side.
Jimmy, this day was coming.
Set up perfectly.
This scenario was going to come for Dublin. Like, whether it was in the Leinster Championship, more than likely it was, or in an All-Ireland series, there was going to be a period where they're up against. And it's like, what have you got? Have you still got, you know, does another Leinster medal, you know, mean that much to Kieran Kilkenny in the grand scheme of things? You know, his legacy, these guys, their legacies are secured. They're outstanding Dublin players, phenomenal careers, reached the highest of highs. But none of that counts come Saturday. And I don't know. I don't think anyone knows. They could go out and show they still have the edge. If they do that, I think they'll win the match. But if they don't, and there's doubt around it, this could be, it's there's a lot riding on this for them.
I wonder how much is the Joe Brennan thing affecting the camp? Like, it's an easy excuse to make, and I think if it was me or if it was Kerry, I think that it would galvanise you in a way. You know, you'd be able to spin it in a positive way, or that would be definitely the goal of everyone else left. You know, it was like when Mead lost their coaches. Now that's lesser. Obviously, it's the coaches, it's not the manager, but they galvanised each other and they used it. So I'm thinking that Dublin would do the same. I can't see, it's an excuse that can be made, but I don't see it as that big of an issue. I don't think it didn't cause that performance, and it won't cause defeat against Loud. Do you think it's causing more?
I think the only thing, Jimmy, and it's hard to know because they're not in the camp, but it's like, it's a relatively inexperienced management team without Jair anyway. Yeah. You know, like, it's not like there's, you know, a Keane O'Neill or something like that who's been around the block. Like, no, it's Clucko. This is Dino's first gig, and he's the manager now. You know what I mean? So it's not like Jair's out of the action, which is just not ideal because, you know, he's the manager. You want him there. And the fact that it's a 12-week thing, and I only spoke about him the Sunday game, can't be a training, anything like that. That is not ideal. You know, how much of an impact it makes, we don't know. You might hear after the championship, stuff like that. It's diabolical for Jair that he's missing the majority of the championship in his first season. And it's a tough situation for Bastic and Cluxton and Dean Rock, because they've no real experience. And now they're going, well, you need to manage the thing. Players might look to it for an excuse, but it's not like it was sunshine and roses before Jair's suspension either. They were relegated. You know what I mean? So it's an added challenge. And as Robbie Brennan said yesterday after the meet game, you have two options: either just sit down and knock it on the head, or you go again. And it all comes back to the mentality here. As you know, yes, young guys can come through, and you know, what is this guy good enough or not? Is he going to have 10 years playing for Dublin? I get all that. Saturday week is about those main guys. You know, if they can stand up and go, yeah, we're still fucking here. Like, and maybe it is all that stuff on their back, and they'll stand up and deliver. You know, I don't question their character. I played with these guys, outstanding. But if they're not at it, this whole thing is gone.
You know? I have a feeling that Gavin Devlin is a very good motivator, and I only take that right from when we met him in Loud last year. He can captivate you. I think he has that skill. Okay,
we were all ready to throw on Loud jerseys that night when Devlin had his goal.
Let's fucking get him. But I think he has that skill, right? I and Loud have the belief because they won it last year.
Yeah, they do.
And they smell blood with Dublin. Okay, so those three factors, I think that Loud are going to get to a really good place mentally and in their gut for the Dublin game. On the flip side, for always and ever, when Dublin are questioned, they are able to get to an intensity level of tackling and aggression and borderline, just on the borderline of over the line. Okay, just on it. They can get there probably better than most teams. But if they're not at that, then the talent in the team is not there at the moment, especially now if Conn's not playing and Paddy Small is, you know, not training or trying to get through. if they don't get to that pitch and that level, I think Loud will beat them. But
they're
even
not
if
good
they
enough
do,
to play
Loud
in second or third gear,
place,
I agree.
I don't think anyone is good enough to play in second or third gear under the new rules.
Anymore,
I don't know if I'm articulating it properly, but I feel like in the old game, whether it be club level or intercounty level, you could get away with it if you individually weren't fully at it, because maybe in a system, in a 15-man defence, maybe somebody else will step up for you in attack or something. But the entire premise of the new game now is one-on-one. Like, it is one-on-one. And you will be exposed if you aren't at it. And if there's two or three fellas on a team that haven't got the right energy, that aren't good enough, it'll go through the entire side and you can just get washed.
Yeah, there's no hiding place. And we've seen it last year. There's also the piece, there's so little between teams. There's not a whole pile between Dublin, Loud, Meath at this level. We've seen the All-Ireland Series. We did lots of games in the All-Ireland Series last year. It was like, I remember vividly being up at Omagh last year for Mayo to come and hammer Tyrone. You know, and Tyrone had beaten Donegal the week before, and Malik O'Rourke came in afterwards and we were chatting to him on GAA Plus, and he was just like, yeah, we just couldn't get up to the pitch for it. We didn't change anything. It was just the intensity required. And he made that exact point to him. If you're a little bit off it at this level, you are going to get punished. And I said, if, you know, that was a Division 4 team against a Division 1 team yesterday, and Dublin really should have lost the game. You know, they got away with one massively there. That margin for error is gone. Going into this thing going forward. So it's a fascinating, the story around that game is so intriguing as well. If you're on the Loud side, you can imagine them. It's just like, we can really consolidate. We're the top dogs here and be the best team in Leinster. And if you're on the Dublin side, but I'm feeling as a Dublin supporter, I'd be looking going, I'd love a shot at this Loud team.
Yeah, bear with us.
So we'll see. And that's not until next weekend.
We'll be doing that next Monday. We'll be having a look at that. Bear with us. We're going to take a quick break in the football pod. We'll be back with the Ulster quarterfinals and a quick look ahead to 6 championship games this coming weekend. It's all coming at us. Back in a moment.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hello there, and you're very welcome back to the football pod of Paddy Andrews and James Donoghue. Fellas, Derry got the job done against Antrim in the one football game on Saturday. It was live on the BBC. I watched it back Sunday morning. Very impressed with Derry's setup, their structure. A 223-113 win against Antrim. Look, they're Division 4 against Division 2. The gulf was evident in lots of ways, but the manner in which Derry set up, I thought, was very interesting. Owen McAvoy starting in midfield alongside Brendan Rodgers. Young Rory Forbes started at fullback with Dermot Baker, and Conor McCluskey returned. Shane McGuckin was in goals as well. And in the half-back line, one of the best half-back lines in the country, McInnes, McGrogan, Doherty. I mentioned the midfield already of McAvoy and Rodgers. And to me, it looked like Conor Glass was playing nearly as a second six behind kickouts. The Antrim keeper was going long and Glass is sweeping up all the breaks behind them. Ethan Doherty and Paul Cassidy in the half-forward line. We know how good these boys are. And up top, Shane McGuigan kicked 9. Lachlan Murray was so lively, and he was the closest man to the square. And Niall Lachlan sided with it as well. That's a very, very, very good first 15.
It is. But those 15 players are almost household names. You know, 10 of them anyway. So they have a great team on paper. Are you going to judge it off, you know, the Antrim game? No. We're going to see a lot bigger test for Derry. I've gone big on Derry in the past and it hasn't quite worked out. So I'm going to hold my horses on them until we see a bit more.
Like Monaghan next.
Yeah. Like
it's the better side of the draw, obviously.
Yeah.
So
they should be getting to the final realistically, but That's it. Monaghan looked a bit stronger the weekend, so it's hard to know. But I'd love to say, yeah, Derry are back. Derry are all in. Look at the amount of talent they have. But I'm just going to reserve it because a game against Antrim doesn't prove anything yet. So they have bigger tests ahead.
Yeah, Monaghan getting the job done against Cavan. I saw Paul Fitzpatrick saying it was possibly one of the biggest Monaghan wins in an awful long time against Cavan at the weekend.
Cavan needed it. Monaghan needed it. It's been a tough spring. Gabriel Brannigan's comments, obviously, after being relegated.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, we could have been relegated to Division 3. We're looking in Division 2. So to turn around and win a championship game, and it's a good side to draw for Derry. It's a good side for Monaghan as well. You know, they'll fancy their chances playing Derry in a couple of weeks' time. They have a few more bodies back. Began was back to influence the game and kicking scores as well. You know, the keeper's influence has been curbed, I suppose, as the rules can tweak. But Began just kicking long-range scores is pivotal to them.
And making saves,
doing his actual job as well. But they, Jesus, they needed that as a group. You know, to have lost that one as well on the back of the way the league went for them would have been disastrous. And I said it last week, sneaky little feeling for them to win that. Not so sure what they'll do against Derry, but it was just massive victory for that group.
Cavan had numerous goal chances. They took two, Tiernan Madden and Darragh Lovett, putting them away. Paddy Lynch missed a penalty. Did a couple of other big chances for goals. And I suppose with a team like Monaghan, who have been on the ropes all spring and maybe aren't so sure of themselves, where they're at themselves, like that was the time to put the foot in the throat and just take advantage of it. And Cavan just couldn't quite
get on top of them.
Yeah.
The last save by Began, Tom, I only saw the highlights of this game now, but I think it was only a minute after they scored the goal where he had another chance and Began stands up tall and puts it over. An unbelievable save. We know that a goal is worth way more than 3 points on the scoreboard. So if that had gone in, it could have been very, very tight. Very tight. So unbelievable save.
Yeah. No, we'll be previewing that game in more depth in a couple of weeks as well. This weekend coming, lads, there are 6 championship games. There's a clatter of them that are going to be live. There was very few football games live this weekend, but this weekend coming, we have got Clare against Kerry on GAA+ at 2:00 on Saturday. We've got Leitrim against Galway on GAA+ at 3:30 on Saturday. We've yet another football game on GAA+ and BBC Northern Ireland, Fermanagh Armagh at 5:30.
I'm there. I'm at it.
Are you? You're from Man Armagh?
Looking forward to trek up to Enniskillen now, yeah. So we're doing Galway Leitrim, which I am interested in. And then a double header with Fermanagh Armagh. Looking forward to seeing Armagh in person now, yeah.
So are you...
See both of the All-Ireland contenders.
Are you setting up in Enniskillen or in Park
Sean? We're in Enniskillen, yeah. So we'll be watching Galway Leitrim from Carrick and Shannon, but we're in Enniskillen for Saturday. So, no, I am actually looking forward to it, I have to say.
Okay.
Well, I'm looking at the big game of the weekend, the Rossi's
Sunday.
I'm looking forward to that.
Tipperary Cork is the only game not televised from the football on Saturday. And then on Sunday, we have got Donegal up against Down, one that's been in the calendar for an awful long time. 3:00. Yeah, 3:00 on Sunday. And then I'll be covering Mayo and Roscommon for Off the Ball on Sunday evening at 4:00 as well. So I think I did get the good game this weekend. I think I have got...
That's the best game of the weekend. It is.
But Donegal Down is going to be a cracker as well, I think, because Down's life in the All-Ireland series is on the line now in a lot of
ways. Hasn't worked out well for them, has it? Feels a bit unfair. No. One Division 3, and the way it's panning out, like that.
Just that
nobody's expecting them to beat Donegal. That is the reality.
Nobody is expecting it, but it'll be interesting to see because they've had them in their hairs in the crosshairs for 6 months. I was looking back on text messages with and it's funny how these things work out with Mark McHugh at the weekend. Going to give him a shout to see would he hop on Off the Ball at me on presenting Tuesday night. And November last year, if we can get the job done against Wexford or against Longford, we'll be playing Meath. Last text from Mark McHugh last November. So the boys had it in the crosshairs. They might say that they only had a week or two to prepare, but Westmeath had a plan in place for Meath months in advance. And I would imagine that Conor Laverty and Down have a plan in place.
That's their job, Tommy.
On Donegal.
That's their job.
They do, but Donegal are a phenomenal outfit. Phenomenal. Like, They're top dogs at the moment. I think it's so hard to even come with a plan against Donegal because obviously Don will put up. There's not going to be that one side or anything, but I just think Donegal are operating at a different level to the rest of the country at the moment. I think they're tuned in. They have that kind of anger, hurt, start of the championship, quality all over the field. I could see just a 5 or 6 point victory for Donegal there.
They've been the best team over the spring, by far. The league final performance solidified that. What you're kind of hoping for, remember only a couple of years ago, Derry won the National League under Mickey Hart and they bounced into an ambush against Donegal and were caught, and then Wales kind of came out for them. I just think Donegal are just way further down the road than that. And totally agree, Conor Laverty's done a brilliant job with them, get them promoted. They were unlucky in a couple of the big championship games last year as well in the All-Ireland series, but if it was against anyone other than this Donegal team, they just look bulletproof at the minute. Tough draw for them, but they make a fist of it. But I can't see past the Donegal victory early.
I don't think I'd back anybody going up there to win. Anyone in the country. I think they'd be strong favourites against anyone. The only, maybe in Armagh.
Dublin maybe.
I couldn't see Dublin challenging at the moment. Kerry, we saw how they dealt with Kerry and Ballyshannon and in the league final. I think they're on a different planet at the moment, currently. But as we said, the difference in championship and league is stark, and the latter stage of the championship, an even bigger step. So we'll see how it goes.
But here, it's great, game, isn't it? Like, that was a great couple of games yesterday and
phenomenal.
This weekend again. Provincial championships. Why ever doubt these things? Unbelievable.
There's one other factor. O'Donnell Park in Letterkenny is the venue for Donegal and Down. It's not going to be a Ballybuffet where McGuinness has really built the fortress. There's an unbelievable record there. So that could be a little thing in the head as well. Last one, lads. Derek Craig, we'd imagine, is out for the Mayo Roscommon game. Big loss in that Connacht semi-final.
Was there an appeal?
When is that confirmed?
I don't know. I went looking there. I don't really see it. I don't know if there will be an appeal or if there has been.
It looked very soft in the video.
Yeah, and my understanding is the linesman had brought it to the referee's attention. So
Conor Lane?
No, it wasn't Conor Lane.
Oh, sorry.
The linesmen are under savage pressure to report absolutely everything. No.
Everything. Get him off. Get him out of there.
He's swearing.
We had a club game in West Clare at the weekend, James. No umpires, no linesmen, prison rules. How did you get on in your game? And
we lost away to Ballylongford.
Okay,
by a couple of points. Well, nice to be back though.
How was the body?
The body is shook. I only played half an hour. I played the first half and hips, brains. Jesus.
First half had 9 shots, 1 score.
The driving did not help. The driving was hard, very hard. Mm. So,
yeah,
my back as well, Jesus. But I won't talk now. So that was Saturday. I won't talk till Wednesday. So it's a nice bit of a break. And then play again Sunday.
The dream. Lovely.
One session.
That's great.
One match.
The Paddy Smith approach, I hope.
Are we expecting a big response from Kerry against Clare? Statement after the last time we saw Kerry, obviously, they got a bit of a clip in against Donegal.
I don't know. It's very quiet in the Kerry camp at the moment. They're away in Portugal. I'd imagine they tried to get up to where they need to be there. The risk with that is obviously you're running the risk of overcooking and getting a few knocks and niggles. So I think there's probably a few knocks and niggles after coming out of that trip. So we'll see. Okay. I don't know how how Clare are going to come at this game, but the whole country is talking about a possible Cork-Kerry final, and with Cork, you know, possibly turning Kerry over. So it's definitely a bananas game for Kerry, but
I haven't heard much of that.
For a Portugal training camp, your skills, your sharpness will be there, and look, you think that Kerry will win that, but
yeah,
you never know.
Paddy, who have you got on GA Plus later on The View?
Obviously doing a lot of Munster hurling as well, so Podge College is on. David Hyland is on.
Podge coming up the road, is he?
I don't know if he's there in person or not.
I have a missed call.
Trying to get Heslin on. So Heslin,
oh, lovely.
Out celebrating after Westmeath's victory. But no, it's hurling and football, so it'll be a busy show. But are we doing a little preview on Mayo and the Rossies later in the week, or we just review it next week?
Unless you watch it, what do you want to get stuck into? I thought that you were on the clock.
I'm saying in general.
I think we'll just do the reaction.
We'll give it an extra 5 minutes after a game. We'll
unless you want to call into a... unless you want to call into a pub. We'll go to a pub in Mayo on Friday night.
Yeah, any takers, yeah. Get over to over Westport there, it'd be nice. No, it'd be a great game. But now we'll be looking at... Leinster finals, or Leinster matches from yesterday and the Munster Hurling Championship. So if the read up, who won those Munster Hurling games?
Yeah,
Limerick playing, no?
No Limerick. Oh, okay. No Limerick this week.
Through a bit of homework here. Very good.
I gotta get working on the Gaelic football power rankings for tomorrow, our show, and figure out where the hell to put Meath and Down. So
snakes and ladders, Tommy. Snakes and ladders.
Boys, thanks for today.
They're eighth, that's it, Tom, were they?
They were seventh already.
Top spot.
They're already seventh. So they'll be going back, I think, to tenth. We'll see. Paddy Andrews, James O'Donoghue. Good fun as always. Thanks for helping me get through this Monday morning.
Good stuff, boys.
See you, lads. Talk to you soon.
See you later.